how to be spirit-led and what that means. And even to the extent, I'll just write it down, even to the extent of letting, he's showing me this, that our emotions are our weakest point. And that's where we get snagged. So say, for instance, you know, you wake up and you're feeling wonderful and, you know, the presence of God, and you're happy and you got plans to do and your body feels good and whatever. And then someone rings you and says, oh, my goodness, you know, such and such happened today. And they said something about you and it was so upsetting. And did you want to know what it is? And they go into it. And of course, tell you, which you don't want to know. And all of a sudden, all these emotions get stirred up, right? And suddenly, this wonderful day that you had started has just crumbled. And what the Holy Spirit is teaching me, because we can be in His abiding presence every moment of every day. He lives in us. He also can be upon us. And we can live in that place. But there are things in our, where you can be, you can choose to be led by the dictates of the flesh or led by the Spirit. That's just, those are the choices we get. And which way we go is going to determine our day, obviously. So what he's showing me is in myself, I kind of experiment on me first so that I can then share with others, you know, in myself, is if I allow emotions to take a leading role, they are like a wild stallion connected to a cart, you know, like a horse and cart, but it's a wild stallion is the emotions. And they'll take you wherever they want to go. If they want to take you down the cliff, they'll take you down the cliff. If they want to take you in the, you know, ocean, you're going to drown in the ocean. If they want to take you over rocky ground so you keep slipping back, they'll take you there. And we have to actually, it's like harnessing them through the Holy Spirit. And we're not doing it. It's not like a willpower thing where, oh, okay, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I won't let those feelings come up. It's nothing like that. It's not a stranglehold or an intent on our part to have power over them. It's literally giving them over to the Holy Spirit and asking Him, because He is a person, show me how to be led by You with my feelings. Because the feelings are the things that start you into, then your thinking changes. You get the feeling first, then the thoughts change. Now, some people say it's the other way around. I found, and maybe it's the other way around with some people, but I found it's my feelings first, and then the thoughts flood in. And that's where the enemy gets in, with the thinking. And what I'm learning now, like, you know, your peace can be so quickly stolen by emotions. And that's what drives most human beings, whether they're Christians or not, unfortunately. We shouldn't be driven by that, but we are. We've got our wild horse attached to the cart, and we're in the back of the little cart, without a seatbelt, nearly being thrown off, you know, while these wild feelings take us in whatever direction they choose to take us. And I think it's paramount that we learn to submit really to the Spirit in how to manage those emotions. Not, again, I'm not saying in a willpower way or in a controlling way, but simply asking for His advice, because He leads us into all truth. How do I deal with these kinds of feelings? I don't know what to do with them, Lord. And He'll teach us as we go. And He's made it really clear to me, and this is something we were talking about last week a little bit, not about emotions specifically, but He's made it clear to me that there, every moment of every day, you have a choice on whether to be led by the Spirit or led by the flesh. And when it says, you know, in Romans 8, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are led by the, get the exact wording here, who are led by the Spirit and not by, I don't know if in the New King James it says dictates of the flesh, but there's some versions that do. What that's saying, people take that often and thinking that it means, you know, you're going to lose your salvation or lose your place with God. And it doesn't mean that at all. It means, oh, Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you know, when you walk according to the flesh, you'll feel condemned because you're not being who you are. It doesn't even feel right anymore. It feels as if you're being somebody else. You know, you're pretending, like you've got a costume on called the flesh. Whereas when you're being led by the Spirit, it all feels right because that's our identity now. It's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit is that link between us, you know, the Father in heaven and us on earth is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So when we're off kilter, whether it's our emotions or whether it's, you know, behaviors, we're going to feel condemned. Because you're not being yourself. You're not being who you are. You know, we think that's who we are, and we're learning how, what I'm finding is the Holy Spirit is so desiring for us to walk in freedom with Him. And it's something He does, He teaches, and He leads us into. It isn't something we make happen. Well, all we do is yield. If we yield to Him, we will learn to walk in the Spirit in all things. And then, if we're woken up and we're having a wonderful day, you know, or even woken up and having a terror, you know, feeling really uncomfortable, we can go to Him and say, Holy Spirit, you know, He's a person to talk to. I'm feeling really uncomfortable. I don't even know what this is. Reveal it to me. Do I need to pray for somebody? Is it something in me that's going on? Show me so that I can walk according, you know, I can walk in the Spirit and according to, you know, according to you, not according to my flesh. And that,
you know, I feel such a presence of God when you're speaking.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's bringing tears to my eyes.
He's so beautiful, Eldie. I'm just letting Him take me over. You know, that's all I want. That's all I want. It's the all of you, Lord, and none of me. That's my prayer.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's my prayer. You know, that's my daily prayer. Sometimes I miss it every day, but I'll tell you, I'm still there. I'm still in that place because I know the value of, you know, sometimes we think we have to keep part of ourselves stashed away. You know, well, this is my little secret part. This is this part that, you know, is a bit precious to me. I'll keep it there because, well, God might not approve of it, but I still like it. And we don't realize that all of us is not just exposed to God, all of us, who we are, everything about us, whether the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it is for Him. And He will transform it by the very love that He shared with us through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That all gets transformed. And there's this amazing scripture, and I keep thinking about it. And it's Hebrews. I'll just write it down for you. I'll write down the reference, and I'll just say it to you. Hebrews 10:14, and it says, by the one offering, He has perfected forever those being sanctified. I mean, that is amazing. We're already perfected. The sanctification process is this whole flesh-spirit thing, where we're learning to walk with Him rather than in opposition. But we are perfected forever in Him. I mean, that's just wild to me. We don't realize it. We're already in that place. And training the flesh, so to speak, is His job. He does it. That's the sanctification process. And, you know, like, that's why we're all equal in Christ. He doesn't see, okay, the person who's further along in their spiritual walk with Him compared to a brand new baby Christian, compared to somebody who's fallen, you know, and maybe backslidden or whatever, compared to somebody who's, you know, absolutely in love, full bore. He doesn't look at them and go, oh, you're good and you're not as good and you're a little bit less good, but you're pretty good. He doesn't do that. You're perfected forever.
Man, that's true.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's how deep His love is.
Oh, Jesse.
I know. These are the kind of sessions we have because He's present all the time. And all we have to do, he's showing me, all we have to do is pay attention to that presence that's always there. And sometimes, you know, for a while it was just so easy, and I would just, all I'd have to say is just bring your presence, Holy Spirit, and whew, there he was. And lately, wow. he's showing me a new level. And I mean, I'd be in it for hours, you know, while I'm praying for people or teaching or just doing the laundry, you know, it wasn't anything specific. And now he's showing me, I mean, I could feel him too, my whole legs are all tingled, but now he's showing me this other, and this is the hard part, you know, he's showing me this other level, and he's saying, Jesse, if you really, 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 because this is what I've asked him, I want to be in your abiding presence every moment of every day, Lord. He's showing me the things that stop it. Not that he's not there, but stop me from experiencing it. And emotions is one of,
awesome.
Isn't that amazing? And emotions are one of the key issues. And certainly for me, and I would say probably for most human beings on the planet, emotions snag us so easily. You know, you're, like I said, you're going along, and he's wanting to say, you don't have to live like that. I have more for you than that. So if emotions...
Yeah, we don't have to be led by wild stallions.
Who wants that? I mean, that's the picture he gave me yesterday. I was talking to my son about it, and he's showing me, because he talks to me a lot in visions and pictures and stuff, he's showing me what it looks like, and I'm going, oh my goodness. You know, no wonder you fall off the cliff. You know, you got that thing leading you. It's not just leading you. It's wildly taking you. You don't even have a choice once you give, you know, once you get in the cart. So I think what he wants us to do is don't get in the cart. You know, it's like, it's okay.
Right.
Emotions are going to be there. You're going to have that wild stallion, you know, neighing and stomping and bucking and everything. And you know, but he's in a corral. So let him have a little hissy fit. Big deal, you know. I don't have to get in the cart with him.
That's true.
You know, I could just, so the emotion comes up, and all I have to do is say, Holy Spirit, this feels yucky. I don't like it. I don't like this feeling. I don't want to walk in it. I want to walk in the Spirit. Show me how to walk in the Spirit with you.
Amen.
And that's it. And he does all the work. He does all the revealing. He does all the teaching. He does, leads you into truth. You don't have to effort at it then. You just give him permission. That's all he asks for is permission, and he'll take the lead. And that's what he keeps telling me. Let me take the lead. We're so afraid of letting him have that. And fear of what? What, that he's going to take me to the right place? I mean, it's the devil doesn't want us to do that. Because he knows that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He cannot lead us anywhere else. So he has maligned the Holy Spirit. He has maligned the Spirit of the living God on earth to such an extent that people are terrified of him. They either think he's going to make them bark like a dog and act like an idiot, or they think he's just a figment of their imagination, or they think, no, I'm supposed to be in control. I'm a new creation and I better do it all myself. You know, it's insane. The devil has made the Holy Spirit seem like an absolute... you know, like an insane asylum patron, or, you know, not customer, but you know what I mean.
Right.
A person who's been admitted to the insane asylum. That's how
patient.
He's. Yeah, patient. Thank you. And that's not who he is at all. I mean, he is more incredible to me every day. He is a person, and we're supposed to interact with him as a person, talk with him. Mm-hmm. Share with him, sit with him, let him pour over us and pour into us and guide us and heal us. He's shown me how he heals souls like broken arms. It's the same for him, not because he thinks, oh, it's just a soul, or oh, it's just a broken arm, but because he loves people. He's the expression of God's love on earth. So he can't help but heal them. And it's so much simpler than we think. I mean, I had somebody who had schizophrenia, and this was just on a chat, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't even focusing on the schizophrenia part. He was going numb in his body, and he was freaking out. And so we went, you know, I went to address the physical, and it wasn't happening. I could feel the Holy Spirit pouring out of me, and I, you know, and I'm saying, can you feel his presence? You know, like you were feeling. And he goes, no. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, what? He's pouring out, you know? I'm thinking, okay, something's wrong. God shows me, the Holy Spirit shows me there's something gone in his background and I can't get what it is, but there's some kind of trauma. And I'm asking him questions. Finally, it comes out, and first he says, no, everything was fine. Finally, it comes out that his father was an iceberg to him. He had no real relationship with his father. So, of course, his father in heaven, are you kidding? He's going to be numb with him, isn't he? So God tells me what to say to him. I said, you're a dead man walking. That's what God is saying. And do you think you might rather become numb to him than find out maybe he's as cold as your earthly father? And he goes, yeah, I know. This is all Holy Spirit. This is not me doing it. And he goes, oh, that could be. And I'm praying in tongues in and out. He can't hear me at all. It's just on a chat, you know. And I'm praying in tongues the whole, you know, on and off through this. And then all of a sudden he can feel his presence, the presence of God. Because I asked the Holy Spirit to heal that wound. And he went in. And he went in quick. And as he's doing that, then he's starting to feel God. And all of a sudden the guy spontaneously starts speaking, praising in tongues. And he knew how to speak in tongues already, but he just goes into spontaneous praise. He's writing it to me and he goes, and he was from another country and it was really cute. He goes, I can feel him in the deeps of my heart, you know, and he's writing.
Oh, wow, awesome.
I know he's writing this and I'm just overwhelmed because this is all happening through me with such little effort. It's effortless. And at the end of it, he's basically celebrating God. 2 weeks later, and I didn't even address the schizophrenia. 2 weeks later, he contacts me, emails me, and says, do you remember you prayed for me and, you know, this, this, and this? Well, the presence of God, I can feel him. Oh, I never could feel him. I can feel him every moment of the day. That's what he says.
Wow.
I know.
That's awesome.
I know. And he says, the presence of God is now casting out all the schizophrenia, and I hardly have any symptoms, and it's going. And he said, my wife has had depression. I've prayed for her, and she's getting healed.
Wow, Jesse, you're setting the captives free.
Isn't this amazing? Awesome. It's so amazing. And that's for all of us. You know, I mean, however we do it. I mean, we don't all have to do a ministry, you know, all the time or anything like that. We don't have to be in ministry, quote unquote. We can do it however, wherever. But it's the same thing. And the point is, the Holy Spirit is the one who has the answers.
Right.
And I've learned to totally yield to him. And I mean, I'm still learning that. But more and more and more of me wants nothing to do with my method, my way, my thinking, or somebody else's teaching. I really don't care what anybody else says, other than, hey, if it's in line with him and it's something I can use, and usually I can only use it for a little while and then it dies off. That's what he shows me. Okay, this is going to work. And it works for maybe a week or two or maybe 5 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. And then he shows me something else. Because he doesn't want us to be hooked on methods. Because we are far greater than that. A method will only go so far. His spirit will take you into eternity.
Right. Yeah, we were meant for a relationship with him.
That's right. That's exactly right. And methods won't get you into relationship. They'll only teach you a technique. And that's barely the tip of the iceberg. You know, they might be a door opener. It might open a door to, you know, okay, I can really do this. And God says it's okay, or permission or whatever. But that's not where we ever stay, because it is absolute relationship. That's what heals people.
Well, Jesse, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about increasing faith?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, that's a really good question, Aldi. I don't run around working on increasing faith, you know, in a manufactured way where I'm thinking, oh, okay, how do I do that? How do I increase it? I just live in union with him, and that increases everything, you know, about him, including faith. It really is about union. So I don't look at, if you see, because it's a very interesting journey, you know, I mean, I've prayed for hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know anymore, I don't count. But anyway, say 800 or 900, 1,000 people, whatever. in person and, you know, and online. And there were times when it seemed like it goes to different levels. Sometimes it's just every single one I pray for, they seem to get immediately healed. And then other times it's a struggle, or I'll get a few people it's a struggle for them. And then other times it'll be a mix. And what I find is the more I yield to the Holy Spirit, the less I'm, you know, hyped up or focused on results or what's going to happen or what did it look like. And the more the faith increases, it can increase by you seeing, you know, manifestation. Okay, a person gets healed and their eye opens or whatever, you know, or their ears. It can, but that doesn't become that's not my compass. And,
right.
You know, I find that for a couple weeks ago, went to the shopping mall and prayed for this one, prayed for that one, didn't see anything. And then I prayed for this old man and his ears totally open.
Wow.
You know, and
yeah, I think I read that on Facebook.
Yeah. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, you can attribute it to you and go, oh, I had more faith for that. I had no more faith for that than I did for, you know, whoever I prayed for before. I mean, it was 5 minutes. You know, it was a 5-minute interlude. I mean, how much faith could I have developed or lost in that time? You know, you're not really going to. The thing that some teachings seem to miss is that the other person is involved. It's not a blame thing. I don't worry ever about their faith. I don't care whether they have any. I don't care if they have little or a lot. What I do find makes the difference is their willingness to receive what God has for them, whether they're Christians or not Christians. Now, some of them who aren't Christians will receive more easily because they don't have a clue that they shouldn't be, you know, that they don't deserve it or they do deserve it. You know, they don't have any of that going on, where some Christians will really be judgmental about themselves, you know, let alone others. But this man, I can tell you, I mean, I can still see his face, the most beautiful old man. I don't know where he was from. He was, I don't know if it was Pakistan or India or so. Anyway, he was kind of dark skinned, old and skinny thing with white hair. And he had these, you know, I'll never forget these little, not earplugs, what do you call them? Hearing aids. And he couldn't hear any better. He couldn't hear any better with them than without them. He could barely hear, you know, but they had little hair like things in them, you know, because he put them in my hand. No, he put them on my lap. You know, I was stunned. I'm like, okay. You know, like he was trusting me that much. You know, mostly people hold them themselves, don't they? And he let me immediately stick my fingers in his ears, which people often, you know, might not let you do that. I usually would cover their ears, but I thought, no, I just want to put my fingers in his ears. That's what Jesus did. Let's do it like this, you know. And I've done that a couple of times. And I mean, I can't even remember what I prayed, but, you know, it was all of 30 seconds. And he could hear perfectly. Now, and then I went to another lady who had some nervous system disorder, and she was a young woman. It was so sad, and she was shaking continually. Really weird name. Sounded like a country, you know. It was a very bizarre name. And I went up to her to